it's tough, isn't it, right now for them? I don't know what Arsenal's actually. Oh, I do.
Because he just wanted, he didn't want to talk about that.
No, no, no. We can chat about it. I think it's the same reason. I just don't think Arsenal have
the personnel,
the players to play that kind of ball.
Luiz is a baller, though.
But he's also
I'm only joking, man.
But he's also an idiot.
Oh, yeah, I respect Luiz.
He can command the football. I give him that much. As a Chelsea fan, he's got a bit of a liability when he's ready, innit?
I think you're being nice.
But when he's ready. Look at this. Your face ain't changed. You're going through them notes like, what's the matter with John?
This is flames.
Yeah, I know. But you don't need to tell me, bro. That unedited version has already gone around. So what we're going to... I say we, the voice, are going to...
So we'll talk, we'll get into that later on. Yeah. Josh, are you good?
I am good. Good.
Troy, are you good? Can you fix your face?
I understand why he's got that look on his jaw now.
Can I have a look at that last section again? I won't disrupt the show, but can I have a look at that last section again? Yeah, like when we... Because cool. Right about now, I don't know if I can contribute now.
After what you saw him, man, I say he's had a day, cuz.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
I'll serve a.
Should I take off my jacket? So
I think you might
like
need
I'm
to.
Relaxed.
I'll serve a Serena serve at you, and you can bat it back as best as you.
No,
as
no, no,
you
no,
can.
No, no, no. Let me be Serena.
He wants to be Serena Sharapova, the umpire, everyone.
Everything. Give me everything, man. Right.
Okay. Everybody good?
Yeah. Give me some leg space, or you're just gonna tape up.
My bad.
Don't vex me.
Please. First of all, big game tonight, guys. Before we get into the meat and juice of the pod, predictions. Troy, who's
Arsenal straight up.
The big game's tomorrow, you know.
It's not a big game to be totally honest. Yeah. But Arsenal straight up.
All right, mate.
No, big game in the past.
It used to be a big game.
No, I'm being serious. Big game in the past.
Wow.
Sky Sports are bigging it up. Like, you know, nice. They're putting people like Roy Keane. I see you outside.
But you know what? It's funny because seeing the montage of that, it kind of reminds you of this was, granted, this was the biggest fixture in Premier League history.
It was.
So many moments. It was. In a way that they always big up the Liverpool Man United fixture. And that just hasn't had the same amount of.
Nope.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Liverpool have been so rubbish in Premier League era for so long.
And let's be serious.
It hasn't been that.
Let's be serious. This should have been on yesterday, yeah?
This yeah,
should have
yeah,
been
yeah.
on yesterday amongst the crap yeah. and because that's where it is.
Yeah.
But they decided to give it its own game on a Monday night when it's Europa League this week, making a man them travel and do whatever. Yeah. The game ain't that big no more. As a matter of fact, it's a mid-table like battle thing, isn't it?
On a real note, when was the last time it was a Monday night fixture like that this game?
FA Cup when we beat them.
How long ago was that?
5 years ago.
Okay. So when the big man left
to the fixture now. The pan of disrespect to the fixture now. You ain't good enough for a Saturday or Sunday. Wow. Just go on a Monday night at 8 o'clock.
Imagine
coming
back. Wow.
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 You know what I mean?
Wow.
It's a bolt. That's why I'm here.
Oh, how the mighty fallen.
That's why I'm here.
You got time.
He said to me, what are you doing tomorrow night? I looked at the fixtures. I ain't doing nothing. I'm free. Yo, listen, the week I've had, I need to laugh.
I'm going to say, I'll take it. G, United win?
Nah, I think it'll be a draw or Arsenal win. I can't see United winning. I can't see them winning.
Draw?
Sensible hat on, I'd say a draw. Or Arsenal could win, yeah. I think you've got
both of them have gone for 2 out of 3, you know. I've gone straight down.
I was going to say this is the FFP. I don't want no fence sitting. Give me. I want a prediction.
All right. Prediction. Arsenal win.
Arsenal win.
Okay, that's
3 out of 3.
Arsenal win.
I don't want to give you credit.
By the time this pod comes out, everyone will know the result. But I think a draw. I think it'll be a draw.
Will Pogba be back tonight?
I think they'll juice him up. I think he'll throw him in. They've got to throw him in.
Other than that, we've got the call up, you know. You know, we're not Wan-Bissaka
standby.
They've got to throw him in. Anyway, but like I say, we'll know in 24 hours once this pod comes out if our predictions were right or wrong. This is the Football Fans Podcast with myself, Jordan. I'm joined on the pod this week. I get my microphone sorted by a couple of Spurs goons in the house. We got Joel and Troy. How are we doing, boys?
Yep, yep.
Very good, very good.
You well?
Yeah, all good.
Good. All good, good, good. Cheers for coming on this week. And obviously joined by a regular Chelsea fan, G. You won on the weekend, didn't you?
Yeah, of course we won.
Of course we won. Like it's a team.
I mean, how many games they had at home?
Listen, that's two games at home in a week, you know, including the mighty Grimsby Town. So, 7-1, you know, it's like a 9-1 aggregate.
We'll just slide past that one, maybe. Wicked. Right, let's get into the show, guys. We're gonna get through quite a lot on tonight's pod. First thing I want to get through is something that I was thinking about over the weekend. It's about managers. And I was looking at the table and it just occurred to me that I reckon there's about 9 clubs that I think this time next year will have different managers.
Ooh.
Only 9.
Well, I was being conservative with 9, yeah. So I'll name the 9 that I predict. I think Watford, Newcastle, Everton, I'm working on the table, United, Crystal Palace, Tottenham. There's one more missing. I think that's 8. So 8. 8 clubs will have, I think, in my opinion, they will have new managers next season. So it kind of got me thinking about how tough it is to be a manager in the modern day game and what is required to be a good manager, because most managers won't win a trophy ever in their lives. It's we forget that. Most men don't win trophies.
Emirates Cup. Especially Arsenal guys.
Emirates Cup.
Why are you? What's wrong with you?
Is that not included?
Huh?
The Emirates Cup.
No, it's not included. Okay. So, whatever. So it kind of got me thinking, like, from you guys, I want to know, what do you think? And I know that, Troy, you've had some brief experience of coaching.
Mm.
I know, brief? G, you've played Football Manager. Huh?
That's a serious qualification. That's better than the badges.
To be fair.
Whatever. I want to get from you guys what you think are what is the single most important thing in being a manager in the Premier League in 2019? Give me what, there's obviously a multitude of things that are required. But if you were to say you're coming into the Premier League right now, start with you, Troy. Oh, what is the most important thing above all? And I don't want 2 or 3, just want one.
But you can't.
No, I can.
Because everything rolls into something.
No, don't
else,
give me
it?
That politician.
Okay, all right. To be good with your board.
Go on, why? Why is that the most important thing
because
for you?
Because as much as your board hires you, your board, if after 3-4 games, are prepared to sack you. So your board has to buy into your vision of where you can take the football club. That's as simple as that for me. You know, we've seen many managers actually who have presented a vision and they lose games and actually they're under pressure immediately, which means that vision actually gets torn up and they then start to go into panic mode and make decisions that actually... the board are going, why did he do that? That's not how he presented that we were going to play. And I think there's so much pressure in this day and age to achieve. No one's got a right to achieve, but ultimately you've got to respect the top six are the top six for a reason. I don't think they'll be the top six this year, by the way, and Leicester could impact on that because of how well they've started. But I think you've got to present a vision to the board that the board believe in and trust. Because if you don't, you're in trouble straight away. I think Watford's manager... he's had 2 games, Kiko. Mm. Lose another 2. I think they're saying, why did we bring him back? So that's what I mean. I think managers
are under
pressure.
At the same time they ask themselves that, they should ask themselves why they got rid of the last one.
Yeah, I agree. But this is my bit, not your bit.
True.
Jeez. I'm in trouble tonight.
I should have made you read that story before we got here.
Troy is on one tonight, Richard.
No, I personally believe it's just the relationship you have with your board. You can have all the great philosophies and present whatever you do in terms of a playing style and whatever else, and it could go out the window. 5, 6, 7 games, you're under pressure.
So Joel, how important, off the back of what Troy has just said there, he's saying keeping the board happy, because they're the ones that ultimately keep you in employment and can fire you. How important is appeasing the fans in that relationship? Sometimes what the board want and what the fans want are sometimes 2 different things.
Mm.
So how important is keeping the board happy, but also remembering that as long as the fans aren't booing you and they're still turning up because they at least like what they're seeing, even if you're not necessarily winning games, how important is that relationship for a manager in the modern day?
Not very. I don't think he needs to be appealing to the fans. I think he just needs to yield results, positive results. Sarri didn't enamour himself to the Chelsea fans. I've got a Chelsea man here, but I'm sure that if they go a couple of seasons without achieving what he did, they might revisit the way that they treated him. or the way that they saw him, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily think it's that important because he was a success anyway. He got out of Chelsea all he was ever going to get in one season. And I come to Chelsea more than any other club. At no point did the fans seem to be on board with him. And if they were, it was for one game. And then the next game, for half the match, and then they was all upset with him.
So going back to Troy's point, he technically did his job and he appeased the board.
That's right.
But he still got sacked.
Yeah, but Roman's got a history of that because there's no... If you ask Roman, there's probably no correlation between sacking managers and winning and being successful as a club, right? They've been the most successful club in the Premier League history under his tenure. So,
that's right.
So from that perspective, sacking managers don't matter. I mean, it's always an issue that comes up, but it doesn't matter really, especially if you set your club up in order to win. But that's not what I think.
Go on, what's the most important thing for you?
A winning mentality. You don't have to get on with your board, as we've just discussed with Roman and previous managers, in my opinion. I think it's great if you can, but you need to be able to win. That's all that matters.
At any level. So I get what if you're a top club, winning is paramount. But if you're
any level. Because I think if you can create a winning mentality, you're probably going to be successful. Do you understand? So for me, it don't matter what level. You need to embody a winning mentality. That's, for me, the most important thing. And why you say we're going to change manager next year, but I hope it's Jose that comes in and takes over.
You said that before, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay. G?
Take over who?
Tottenham.
Never going to happen.
Is that what you want to happen? Is that what you think might happen?
I like it to happen. I don't know. I wouldn't rule it out. Where's never going to happen. There's no more big clubs left for him, is it?
Never going to happen.
No more big clubs left. Only
so
thing,
so well, Ogre's got to go to a small club now, is that what you're saying?
And I'd like to do my trade.
Sorry? You missed it. Go on.
We're a medium. Okay. I'm a medium. Before we get into this big, small medium. Sorry. I'd like to hear why Troy thinks it's never going to happen. But for me, why not? You know? I reckon it would be to do with the money and leave you, right?
No, bit. But also, Jose and Man United was never going to work. I don't care what anyone says. And actually, can you let me finish?
Oh, sorry.
That's twice you've chopped him off now, to be fair, Joel.
I'm not used to it. I'm not the guy doing the job. You know, actually, he didn't do as bad as what they made
most
out.
Most successful manager said today.
But I don't see a Jose Mourinho style, his management style, his playing style, his relationship with boards. I don't see
it. But Joel saying he doesn't care about that. Joel saying what he does bring is, for all of those things, he will win games
and
win trophies.
I know he has a mentality that is different to 99% of the managers in the Premier League as now. I think he could take a lot of them and win something immediately. But people now go from winning something immediately to long-term success. I don't know where they're going to get that from because no one stays in a job long enough. So what they do is they sack hope for success from... This is what Watford do. They sack hope for success, their success, from a new man. The new man galvanises them, has a dip the following season, they sack. Southampton are the same. The new man keeps them up, like last season, and I can't even say their manager's name. And then ultimately, he's under pressure now already because they've not started the season in the way that they were getting themselves out of relegation.
But
last
in terms
year.
Of a model... I mean, if you're United, if you're City, if Liverpool, winning is winning the top trophies. If you're Southampton or Watford, winning for them is staying in the Premier League. That's winning for them.
No, you're talking about success. Success surely has to be for them to compete in cups.
No, I think Watford.
I think it is.
Success for
Watford. You look at Watford. They reached the cup final last year.
That's right, yeah.
That was six. All right, they got battered, but for me, that was success for them.
Yeah. Do you know what was bigger success? Finishing eighth. That for them is
a
big...
We'd have to ask their board.
A cup run is an anomaly because you could get a nice run and get to the cup final.
It doesn't
matter. Start
of
the season, I reckon that board told Watford, stay in the league. Your job is to keep us in the league. Job done.
So why did you get the sack then?
Do you know why?
Because the way they finished the season started this.
Yeah, that's right. I agree with that. And I don't know if Watford do that, Troy.
Do what?
In terms of the way that you brought down the managers and how they bring them in. I think that they bring them in and they told them, you've got 2 years.
I think so too.
You've
got
2 years. We don't keep managers longer than that.
Everyone knows that now. Right? It's not
and
a secret.
And that's my point. I think they told them straight up. And if you start the third year,
having a bit of insight, they don't.
Okay.
That ends that one then.
No, but I do know what.
You chopped him, man. You chopped him.
I understand what you're saying. I do understand what you're saying, and it can be perceived.
Because I thought that for a while. I said on the pod last year that I wouldn't be surprised if they tell management when they walk in, you've got 18 months here, and we're probably going to move you on. But if you're prepared to deal with that and handle that, then come on board. If not, no problems. We'll
Gracia
look
never looked like a man who knew he was staying.
Yeah, but let's be serious. What manager likes to be sacked? No matter whether you have a 2-year life cycle.
I tell you who, a manager that's not got a massive reputation in the Spanish, Dutch or German league, thinks it's to manage a Premier League team. You will take 2 years in the Premier League if you know you're being sacked. I think they would. More money in a bigger league. If you're a Jose, if you're a top manager, you got high standards.
If you're Kiki Flores,
you're taking Watford. But even if it is for 18 months.
But even if you're a Jose, Jose came back to Chelsea. You know what I mean?
But wasn't that a numbers game? He ran out of big clubs to manage. Do you know what I mean? He ran out of clubs.
Fair play. What I'm saying is, you make a good point, but I think even the top continental managers, like Italy have had this culture for years. Ancelotti will go to clubs knowing that he probably won't last longer than 2-3 years. It's not just the lower rank managers. I think all managers now know, realistically, they have a lifespan of 3 years. Mm. What can I make within those 3 years?
So what for you then is the most important... It's the most important quality a manager in the modern day has to possess in order to be, again, in vogue comma, successful.
Yeah, see, for me, I think it is the man management. I think it leads into what both of these guys are saying. But I think the point where clubs get rid of managers is when maybe players are just losing that edge. And now it kind of seems that the only way to recreate that edge is not to go and buy players, because it's harder to buy players. It is to kind of get a new manager in. And it's kind of short-termism at its worst, because like you said, Southampton is the example, and they'll probably get rid of their manager before January. But I think it's that man management, being able to keep the players motivated year in, year out, which Ferguson was great at doing by refreshing his squad and stuff, but managers nowadays don't seem to be able to do. And I think this is why there's such this revolving door, because people panic. They think, okay, we need that boost, we need that bit of energy. Let's just get another man in.
Mm. Okay, that's interesting.
You got to remember, each year that you finish in a higher position than you did the season before counts up to 1 mil, 2 mil, 3 mil extra into your football club. So finishing 11th, actually, you know, and you missed 10th by 3 points or 2 points, and you remember the game that you should have got the... That is money to the football club. Mm. And the football club looks at that and said, boy, look at that. Man could have earned us, and yet he earned us a meal less. But that is all that financial stuff now is taken into account.
But isn't that applicable to 19 clubs? Every chairman could say, you could have got us one place higher.
Yeah, but let's be serious. This, without going into the argument I had with Brighton Football Club and their expectation, Chris Hughton done a job for that football club above and beyond, as far as I'm concerned. Now they want something different in terms of style of play, in terms of easy on the eye with the fans, in terms of whatever it may be. He's under pressure. The man's under... Look at the way they've started. He's under pressure. Because everyone thinks, you know what, change the manager, click, happen, straight away. It's not like that, is it? It's a difficult... You're playing in the Premier League. Anyone can beat anyone, but to sustain the quality that you have to stay in that lead is the most hardest thing in the world.
Do you not think Chris Hughton's problem was also the brand of the club? So although he's a safe pair of hands and he'll more than likely keep you in the Premier League, I think for a lot of chairmen and club owners now, style and how the outside world perceive us, I think they value that.
You're right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so I wonder if they thought, you're keeping us in the league, that's very valuable. But if people don't want to watch us, if fans are slowly being bored by what they're seeing every single Saturday at 3 o'clock, that is something that we can't sustain long term. We need someone that can come in and play better football. And as you're saying, even if it means they may go down, I think that their thinking was, we need to go to the next level.
Wagner, Huddersfield, play good football?
Did he?
He was brought in to play good football, yeah?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
He played good football.
Okay. They played good football.
Then realised, as they were struggling, I need to change.
Maybe I'm thinking of the last
period. Went away at Man City and went away and shut up shop. I mean, proper put nails in it and shut up shop. Because he realised that ultimately the biggest thing, play football is great, but we need to stay up. Because my neck's on the line. Stayed up, neck's on the line. Couldn't get to the levels they were the season before in terms of their playing styles, and got the sack. New man comes in, can't pick it up. They got relegated. Now they're struggling in the Championship.
Got 2 points, actually.
Right. So what I'm saying is, that's 3 times he's done it, you know, but I'm going to let him blow. What I'm saying is...
What, they're open?
But you need to be careful what you wish for. That's what I'm saying. You need to be very, very careful. I remember a game. I don't know if you remember this, Jay.
Mm.
Spurs at West Brom, and they were 3-0 down a few... About five seasons ago.
I was at that game.
I was at the game.
Yeah,
great game. And no, they were 3-0 down. Wait till the end of the story. Yeah. And the Spurs fans started to sing Levy out. First time I'd ever heard it. And it started to grow and grow and grow. 3-0 down. 3-3. The game finished.
Mm.
Yeah? Just to stop you from... Yeah? 3-3. And what I'm saying is if we go on those Levy out shouts, where would Spurs be now? Because ultimately...
Levy's my guy, man.
There you go. That's the one time he can butt in. He's his guy. He's his guy because you know what? He treats his football club like gold, like treasured. Like if you're doing a deal for this football club, I'm going to get every last penny out of you no matter what. I'm not going to go over certain budgets because this football club needs to remain inside this circle. Yes, we've got a manager, a progressive manager. He's under pressure now, apparently, by the media. Because all of a sudden, all the storm in the summer... is all of a sudden now questions are being asked. And when rumours start from somewhere, let's be serious, rumours have to start from somewhere. And someone is putting these rumours out to the same people all the time that is now questioning whether Poch will stay at that football club or not.
We'll come to Poch and the Southgate rumours in just a moment. But just finally on this one, Joel, we were speaking on a pod a couple of weeks ago and I mentioned Norwich as an example and Farker as an example of a manager that I think he's decided, as we've said earlier on, I've probably only got a year, 2 years at Norwich maximum before I get sacked for whatever reason. I might as well play some good football and go for it as we're seeing Norwich do and do it my way and then get sacked rather than trying to shut up shop like other managers and bore everybody and still lose.
Mm.
Do you think that mentality is healthy in terms of he's probably thinking, I think he's thinking, I'd rather keep the fans on side than the board. Because as long as the fans are enjoying what they're seeing every single week, even if we do lose... they will never boo me or they will never campaign to get me out. They're the ones that don't hire and fire. But do you think that that's a healthy attitude to have? If I'm on limited time, I might as well appease the fans.
If he's on limited time, it actually doesn't matter who he appeases, does it? Be successful. And that's why appeasing fans, board, don't matter. Like, if you come in and you know that you've only got X amount of time to do it no matter what you do, then be as successful as you can. Take risks, you know? Be the best manager you can be the best coach you can do. Use it as an opportunity, you know what I mean? But then also build your network in it so that one day if another job in the Premier League comes up,
they remember what you did.
They remember what you did, yeah. So that's what I would say.
To be fair, I watched them Saturday. They were good.
They play without fear, don't
they? Yeah, they were good.
I like the way they play.
I just wonder how long they play with. Just imagine if it's 7, 8, 9 on the spin.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you can continue to play, because ultimately then the pressure starts to come.
Yeah.
Can you continue to play without fear? You know, they lost Saturday, deservedly, but that doesn't mean they didn't play quality in between all of that. Do you know what I mean? And they did. They were good.
I think depends on how he set his stall out. Like, so this is where the management is defined, isn't it? Because we all know he's got a set limited amount of time. We all know what he's got to do to stay up. But if he can, like Troy said, go 7, 8, 9 games on the bounce, accrue a certain amount of points, and then sit down with his squad and say, okay, this is 1/3 of the season that way, and this is what I said would happen if we hit this mark, and they will know, they will sing it from the same hymn sheet, who knows what the man can do? Fear might not kick in. It might be a very organised way to approach the season. Who knows, time will tell, innit? But for me, the success of Norwich will be what people will remember him for. So I'd like to see him back here one day if he is successful.
Okay, let's move on to the rumours around you lot's club, Spurs.
You lot's club.
Story broke at the weekend that Southgate is apparently being lined up as the guy should Pochettino leave Spurs this season or next summer. I'll start with you, G. A, do you think, and I tend to agree with Troy, that rumours always come from somewhere.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't believe this idea that journalists make things up. I just don't believe that.
I know you do, but I don't.
On this particular story,
yeah.
If we assume that it has come from somewhere.
I think it has.
Do you feel that Southgate is the right guy that Levy should be, if not contacting, at least... you know, if you drawn up a list, eyeing up. And I think it'd be stupid to be a chairman of a club and not have a little side list under the drawer that says, if worst claims come, you know, if Poch left tomorrow, I know the three or four guys that are top of my list.
Yeah, I think in terms of what you said about where it's come from, I think Levy and Pochettino, to us, more Levy really, it's kind of airing out a bit of the dirty laundry in front of the media this summer over not being happy about transfers. And the, you know, I mean, Pochettino's come out and said things that we would never have known if he didn't come out and say about, you know, disgruntlement about people not being able to go and stuff. He could have just came, told the party line and said, you know what, people did want to go, people were looking at the options, but everyone's happy to stay now, everyone's happy, boom. But he's kind of grumbled and moaned and Jose'd himself a little bit, and he's kind of created this storm now, which exists. Is Southgate the right guy? Not, you know, we've had these discussions about Southgate before. I think he's done a great international management job to a certain extent. I don't think he'd been an improvement on Pochettino. I haven't seen him do anything tactically that Pochettino couldn't do. In fact, to say Pochettino, even though Pochettino has his flaws tactically, I think he's, you know, levels above Southgate. I think I'd hope that if they were to go for Southgate, that there would be a anti-Tottenham parade like there was with Chelsea when we allegedly went for Svengoor and Eriksen. But no, seriously, I don't think Southgate is the guy. I mean, if they had like a good crop of young players that you wanted to cultivate, you wanted to give a chance, if you wanted to do like a Sherwood intermediary job where he gets it ready for like another big manager, then yeah, fine. But I don't see anything. I don't see anything to say that he'd be the guy to take it to the next level.
Football pod where someone mentioned Sherwood.
you mentioned the bad word there, Jim. You mentioned the bad word. Troy's not having
that. Hey, Sherwood put in Harry Kane. He, you know,
put some respect on his name.
Sherwood put makes me laugh. Put some respect on his name. You man from a distance are calling Sherwood out. Yeah, you man from a distance. Sherwood put in Harry Kane. Don't do it.
Yeah? All right, I'm going to let you talk. what are you saying? Do you want Southgate?
Oh, wow. Is that direct?
Yeah, I was going to ask that same question to you.
I'm not doing the rumours thing. I don't think Poch is happy. But listen, from the minute you hear Poch is not happy to all of a sudden Southgate's name comes out of the woodwork and, you know, all of a sudden other names are coming out of the woodwork. We're talking about lifespan. He's done 5 years. He's done 6 years. I still think he's got to win something. And I don't think he's entirely happy until he gets Spurs in a position where they can win. I think that Champions League run was off the cuff. I don't think anyone expected it at that period of time. But they've got to build on that. You know, and everyone's saying there's a crisis. A crisis? How is there a crisis? I don't see this crisis talk. Again, I watched them rip apart Crystal Palace the other day, but yet you'll say, well, hold on a minute, they only won 2-1 against a 10-man and they lost at home to Newcastle. That's the Tottenham team. That's how Tottenham are. Yeah, there are players that are not happy there. You can tell. You can tell. Everyone can see body language. We're not stupid. We can see body language. We can see, you know, what players are actually on it and what players need a little bit more goading. If you get one more season out of those players, and I'm talking about your Eriksons, I'm talking about those players who have got 1 year to go, I think they'll give it their best shot. And I think he will get them back to a stage where he will need them for Spurs to be competitive again.
Do you think it was a good idea, Kane coming out and saying, you know what, I think we all need to just put our differences to one side and come together as a team?
I'll tell you what, there's more come out of that Tottenham change room in the last three, four, 5 weeks that has ever come out of that Spurs change room.
And does that worry you?
I'm not a guy that worries. You can tell I ain't got no grey hair or nothing, but...
Yeah, I can see 1, 2, 2 you're not on my level yet, but you got to see a couple
of it. It has to be a worrying sign. You know what it's like. When stuff comes out of a change room that is written down, you've got to say, there's got to be a little bit of gospel in all of that, yeah? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why don't you just bat it away? I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what you're talking about. We're fine. We're all as one and we're together. So there's got to be something in there. And like I said, let's go back to certain players' body language. It's showing that there's something not quite right. You know, even today, if the quotes are right, and I will say if, Sissoko signs a new deal. If you've gone and poll most Spurs fans, they'll say he's been their best player over the last 2 years. The transformation that he's... There you go. Look how dismissive the man is. That's what they...
Darren Lewis says the same thing.
All right, it's my time. And Poch says, it's nothing to do with me. That's between the chairman and the player. Now I'm thinking, hold on a minute. Is that true statement in terms of it is genuine, or has it been spun a little bit differently? Or is that part of the genuine problem that you can give a man a new contract, but you won't sign a player that I wanted to bring into this football club to make better? I think we'll see. The signs we'll see. But it's for me, it's not great at the moment in terms of the rumours that are coming out of the place. But like I said, I think you'll go back and you'll find that Spurs will pick up their performances. What is worrying is their away form. For me, if you haven't won since January, what's going on? Aside like you.
That's poor, yeah. Well, you made it very clear, Joel, from the start that you would like Jose in next, whenever that is. So I'm assuming Southgate is the opposite of Jose. So you wouldn't be happy with Southgate coming in next.
I wouldn't be happy with him. That's not the level.
Sherwood.
Man dismissed. Man used it again.
That's not the level, bro.
What's the level? Jose, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's the level. Because what we're talking about is a manager who Gabriel just rightly identified was better than Southgate, taking Tottenham to the precipice of winning something, right? Where we could have won the Champions League, we could have, you know, maybe when Leicester were won, you know?
Yeah.
We could have been a bit better. I don't know if Southgate would have done any of that. I'm not saying that. So I don't know. I don't want him to carry on this project. I want a Diego Simeone. I want
can you get that caliber of manager? And I'm not saying that as an Arsenal fan shooting.
Yeah,
I'm genuinely thinking a club with no history of winning anything,
yeah.
A club that is definitely has definitely made huge progress over the last 5-6 years, that's unquestionable. Would you go from winning Champions League, Premier League, La Ligas to a Tottenham?
If you couldn't get one of the other clubs.
Listen, no.
Okay, that's a fair answer. Then, yes.
City, yep, Liverpool, okay. Man United. Why not?
No.
Why not Tottenham?
Spurs are a different proposition now. Spurs are not the club that you're identifying. And you're identifying them with a little bit of, I can see it when your face, when you're saying it.
I did try.
You got to dismiss them.
No, but I'm not. And cut through the.
Yeah, but Spurs now are a sexy club to manage. They are a Man City, a Liverpool, just behind them. They're much, the global thing of Man United. But let's be serious. They're on a two, three-year spiral. And that's going to take a long period of time. And the manager they got now is not that person to change that around.
So let's ask the neutral. I mean, you're not Arsenal or Spurs. I think you're Chelsea, so maybe you're not as neutral as I'd like you to be. But if you're Diego Simeone, you leave Atletico Madrid, who, and you factor everything into the pot, who is a more attractive proposition for you? Manchester United or Tottenham Hotspur?
You'd still go Man United.
Wow.
I think you still would go Man United.
And he hates United.
He hates United. Chelsea, though, they hate Tottenham.
Yeah.
It's a certain bias, isn't it, Jeff? Huh? It's a certain bias.
There's two Tottenham men in the room. We're talking about bias.
I mean, listen, Man United, bro.
Tell us why.
With Man United, as much as I hate to say it, is that everyone in the world knows who Man United are. Plus, they'll probably give more finance than what Tottenham will give in terms of acquiring players as well.
They have to because of what their existing squad looks like, no?
Yeah, they do. But then you get that chance to kind of make... You're not going to have to deal with Levy penny pinching over trying to get players.
Okay, so swap Levy for Woodward.
I don't know about that.
So who of the two clubs, who's closer to winning a Premier League with a new manager?
I would say
so. I asked the question because if you're Simeone, you're thinking, where's the most work to do? There's more work surely at making Man United a top team again than there is making.
But some people, I look at Simeone as the type of guy who would
be turned by the challenge.
Turned on by the challenge, yeah. And to bring a quote unquote great club back to its greatness, I don't think he'd want to go through what Pochettino is going through now. He's already doing that to a certain extent at Atletico, trying to make the best out of being like the third biggest budget and the third biggest cut. So I think he would see maybe, you know, I can't speak for him, but maybe see Tottenham as a sideways move and Man United as a move up.
Interesting. I often wonder when Man, you know, the whole Tottenham thing, you know, I don't think Tottenham are a big club. They're not, that's not me being rude.
Who is a big club? Just so I know.
I think talking about big club. I think you're talking about United are still a big club.
Yeah, go on,
I think Liverpool are a big club.
United and Liverpool, they're only two big clubs in the Premier League. Real talk?
I'm talking about everything factored in. I'm talking history, finances, fan bases, and competing.
So only Liverpool.
They're the only two certies for me.
We've only got two big clubs.
They're
the
only two certies for me.
Wow, Jay.
I don't think Chelsea, a decade of success,
makes him a big club.
It's closer to 20 years now, man. Just put some respect.
Liverpool haven't. What makes them a big club, bro?
Fan base. Finance
what
generated.
What
do you mean, what fan base?
Hold on. What I'm trying to say is, like, what's that got to do with anything, bro?
Well, this is my criteria. My criteria for big club are fan base, competitions competing for the biggest competitions, the law of the biggest players in the world.
Mm.
So if you're a big club, you know you can attract the biggest players in the world. A history of winning things. Those are all the things I put in the pot.
So
do you know what I mean? And they're the only two that tick all those boxes.
If Man United can attract the biggest players in the world,
not now, but every other box they tick: fan base, income, history.
But can't attract the biggest players in the world, so the squad is paper thin.
You can argue. You can argue if they go for a top player in Europe and fling down the money alongside Spurs, it's not obvious that person would go for Spurs. I think they can still, even despite being crap.
In the past, that person would have been nailed on United.
Agree. They've definitely fallen. But I'm just, for me, they still tick enough boxes of what my definition of big club is than Spurs.
And they would just outbid Spurs anyway. They'll just pay three times if they really want the guy.
I think there is an issue of United attracting the top European. I think this whole nonsense about them going back to their roots is nonsense. They've gone and bought James, Wan-Bissaka and Maguire because those guys are still impressed by Manchester United. Mm. They're still enamoured by the European top talent. They're not impressed anymore. So United have had to go British again.
But they're British, yeah. I was going to say.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas you couldn't get the top right back in Europe anymore because they're not impressed by United anymore. So they've definitely fallen.
United are not consistent Champions League anymore. So the top players that you discuss want to play Champions League football.
But I'd argue, you're making me defend United here.
Is you hear that music, when you're playing on a Thursday night, that music don't get played.
I agree, but I would argue, and they may be falling out of this now, they've still got enough credit in the bank of being in the Champions League
anymore.
To still trump Spurs' last four or 5 years.
You can't tell a man you're going Azerbaijan on a Thursday night. You can't tell a man you're going Azerbaijan on a Thursday night. You just travel, won't play you, just travel.
Yeah,
not anymore. That's not appealing to.
So
the
you
big
think
players.
So? Spurs are a big club for you.
They have to be. They have to be in the fact over the last few years. You're talking about this sustainability big club. No, Spurs don't have that history. But I think what you've got now is
Bang, the biggest thing of defining a big club. You don't do. The one thing you have to attribute to a big club,
Arsenal
you don't
haven't
do.
Done. Man United haven't done. Chelsea do, but you're not calling Chelsea a big club. Liverpool get the Champions League, but I think they'd swap the Champions League, one Champions League, to win the league 3, 4, 5 times.
But that's a big club. When your dilemma is Champions League or Premier League,
but
you're a big club.
Yeah, but you're deciding that Man United's a big club.
Because I still think they tick more boxes than Spurs.
It's not about ticking boxes.
Well,
it's about reality.
No, I mean, everybody's going to have a criteria, innit? His criteria, that if United have another 5 years of what they've been doing, that criteria don't matter, does it?
I totally agree.
So I get you.
Totally
I understand
agree.
Where you're coming from. And I get where Troy's coming from. You see, the thing is, what people don't have any appreciation for me, is transitioning from where you were to becoming that big club. You understand? City one was a big club.
Mm-hmm. That's why. And I don't think they're a big club now. But, take your point.
You got to transition. You have to have incremental growth. You can't just land. Otherwise, look what happens.
But that growth has got to be winning trophies as well. Part of that process.
I don't know if it does. Again, you keep defining.
So according to you, you can go on to be a big club without winning anything.
Hold on, my thing is this: you have to win something.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that on your way to becoming a big club, you should have won something. I don't know.
No. Okay,
you have to win something. Like Poch, remember? I think a couple of years ago I came on here, and I said to you,
"Is that last time?"
The project. Yeah, I'm not big like you. No. I'm not big like you, sure. I came on. Not the last time I came on, but a couple of years ago I came on, and I spoke to you
about... I've invited you before the last 2 years.
About Poch's most pivotal time is going to be after 5 years. He's going to have to build a squad again. He's going to have to do a whole load of things he ain't done. And if he hasn't won anything at this point, it's going to be even more difficult.
Mm.
So I could see him being a little bit more honest, and he's very honest, right? So he's been a little bit more honest, if I'm latching on to what Gabriel's saying. Yeah, he's been a little bit more honest, and I think he's doing that because, like, pressure makes diamonds, isn't it? He's either you're either gonna rise and shine, or you're just gonna get out of there. Irrespective of what he does, he's good. He's got jobs lined up. He'll be all right in the future. But for me, that would be the one thing that he didn't do.
Is win. Yeah.
Is win something. Doesn't mean that the next manager ain't got it all to do when he comes in.
I hear that. G, you wanted to talk about Chelsea briefly this week.
It's going to be brief.
Was it something specifically you wanted to talk about, or can it wait till next week? Only because we've got another couple of things I want to get through.
We can wait till next week.
Okay,
what did you want to say?
You wanted to review the Grimsby game.
Yeah, that can wait till next week. That can definitely wait till next week.
Seriously. We can wait till next week. That's fine. By next week, we could have won four games in the bounce. We'll be in the top four. So, yeah, we'll be good.
It's even better listening, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And even better if you lose.
Are you happy with Laps?
Is it? Yeah, I am.
Given where you are and what you got.
I think a lot of the things with Laps have been overhyped. I think it's like he's a darling now. He can do no wrong. He has made some mistakes in the games that we've made, but then I look at it the same way we're giving Tammy Abraham or Mason Mount the chance to make mistakes. I think we can give Lamps the chance to make mistakes and kind of. He's not a top manager, but I think
so should be in the job.
He's new as well. He's a young manager.
He got the chance for a reason. Let him grow into it.
He could have been at Derby dealing with some issues.
Some nonsense.
Those issues wouldn't have come around though.
So. And a brief Tammy watch. How did he do this weekend?
Yeah, you see.
No, I'm just saying, you wanted to make it a feature, so I'm just saying, you know.
Tammy watch is a feature.
You didn't hear what he said about Tammy?
Go on.
He said Tammy's a lower half of the championship striker.
Wow, you and my brother. You gooners. My brother said the same thing. And then I think last week I looked in the fantasy team. I said, wait, you put him in your team? He's that much of a lower league striker.
Yeah. But no, he actually played a relatively good game on the weekend. It's one of those games that if he scores, you say, oh, he had a great game. He had some half chances. He's getting into the right positions. There was one where he elected to chip. Where I think if he smashed it, it could have gone in. But apart from that, I can't knock him. He held up the ball quite well. Had a good game.
Whatever. And just a brief fantasy football league update. Spudgers FC still top of the league with a game week of 58. I think he's still got United player to play. I've moved up to 10th.
Wait, I didn't get an invite to this.
Didn't me neither.
Didn't get
me
neither. Oh, wow.
Did I win it or come third last year?
We have an FFP league. I didn't get invited. Oh, wow. My apologies, gentlemen.
I was smashing it last year. Right. So eliminate the
smashing
team.
What?
Doing good. I was top until the last day and then... let's not invite him next time because he's too good. Yeah,
you can still have him.
To be fair, I'm having a stinker this year. So
come if you want.
I'm not interested.
G, you've moved up to 22nd.
How many points? What points? How many points has he got?
Yeah.
49. That's not a great week.
Overall.
Overall, G has got 373.
Okay.
I'm on 407.
You're doing good. What are you talking?
I'm 10.
Are you? You're like stiff then.
Yeah, bro.
What's the top?
438.
Moving.
438. He's doing well. He's doing well.
I'm on 12.
You get 12 in 2 weeks. You get one per player.
I'm taking -4 every week. Just, you know what I mean?
It frustrates me. Right? I played for a couple of years and I realise why now.
It's a madness. It's a madness.
Yeah, I realise why though. Man. Last week I was meant to pick Wood. I was like, should I pick Wood or should I Bane Barnes? What should I do?
It's mad. And then the player you end up taking out scores a hat trick that weekend. Bam. The player you brought in doesn't start that week.
I started the season with Clive Wilson in my team. Oh, wow. I took him out after week two. Why?
And you have to support Tottenham, man, because you put a Harry Kane in your team, you end up.
No, you don't. Because I don't support.
No goodness.
But there's money on my one. So, you know what I mean? I'm looking at the money thing. I'm like, if I've got to pick Kane to get some money out of it, I'll put in Kane. You know what I mean? Them ones. Right, let's move on now, guys. So, we touched on it briefly, I think, last week, did we? Because the story had broken over the weekend regarding Bernardo Silva and Benjamin Mendy and the tweet that was sent. And it kind of, there was a bit of oil put on the fire over the weekend in regards to a couple of things. First of all, John Barnes, as has been the case for a while, was called up by various media outlets to give his opinion on the situation, but more on the reaction to Bernardo Silva's tweet. And then following that, Pep Guardiola did a press conference on the Friday, I believe, where he pretty much kind of denounced any criticism of Bernardo Silva. There were some really poor quotes that I wanted to attribute to second language, but I think he meant, he said what he meant. And then the third element of this was on the weekend after the game between Everton and Manchester City, Raheem Sterling was interviewed post-game, and he was asked for his thoughts and his reaction to, again, the tweet and the reaction to the tweet as well. Start with you, Joel. First of all, did you see the interview that Raheem Sterling did?
I did, on Sky? Yeah.
Okay. Mm. This may sound really harsh, but did Raheem Sterling put country, sorry, put club before culture?
Did he put club before culture? If you're talking the culture of the dressing room, no.
No, sorry, I mean.
No, but like, I'm being.
Okay, sorry.
I'm being obtuse. But my thing is this. He did. This whole issue's a sticky one, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, he knows them two, and he knows how it was meant. I think he should have basically focused on the fact that it should have been a private joke between friends and not one that was aired out in public. Then you don't get into, is it racist, is it not racist, is he racist, is he not racist? Simple, you know? And that, for me, was the biggest faux pas. Mm. The fact that they aired that in public, you know, and thought it was okay. Now you know it isn't. So I hope everyone's learned the lesson.
So first of all, would you, for listeners of this pod, you're black. Was you as a black man offended by the tweet?
I'm not on. I didn't see it in it, so I was. I have to be one of those that was part of the reaction to the tweet. Have you seen this?
Okay.
No, I haven't seen it. What is it? This is what Bernardo sent to his friend and said that he looks like this. Poor show, innit? Did his friend have him up? No, they laughed about it. Well, I don't know how they've been educated where they can laugh about something like that, in public. But me, I looked at the caricature and. Yeah, it's embodying all of those stereotypical racist, you know, features and connotations that we ought to know better about in 2019.
Mm.
If footballers want to feign ignorance and go on like they didn't know, that's their business. But we do know, you know. We know exactly what that symbolises. And at the end of the day, it's not on. So I understand why Raheem was caught between a rock and a hard place. Understands the situation on a different level to most people. But that's why I say he should have stuck to the line that they shouldn't have had that kind of dialogue in public. They should keep it in the changing room.
So, G, first of all, as a black man, was you offended by the tweet?
Yeah.
You was offended, okay.
But when I say offended, not personally offended, but it's offensive to us as a culture.
No, you. Was you as a black man, did you feel offended by that tweet being out there?
No, not personally.
Okay, and second question. So follow up off to what Joel's saying there. I've been a really big supporter of Raheem Sterling's stance over the last year. I did a whole podcast when he came out and did the post in response to the racism that he suffered at a game at Stamford Bridge last December. I thought it was a game changer. I was so, full of admiration of what he did and what he's done since then. The reason why I asked the question at the top, and it might sound very, very harsh, is because for me, Raheem Sterling can't pick and choose when he wants to be an activist, when he wants to call out racism. This is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You can't decide that because it's your teammates, I'm not going to call it out. But then when it's other people, I'm going to call it out.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, did he put his club and the chemistry and the harmony of the dressing room and not pissing off Pep Guardiola before the greater good of acknowledging this was a racist tweet?
Yeah, I think that the problem that I have with Raheem is that what he talked about in December was exactly that, because he didn't talk about the type of overt racism where people would be. He talked about that kind of underlying things which people might in some cases not even realize that they're doing. But that continue to kind of build on these stereotypes and make it difficult for black people in all industries. And I think for him then to come and say this about Bernardo Silva kind of really contradicts what he's saying. You can't be... It's easy, sometimes it's easy for people to pick on the media. I'm sure if there's a media outlet that put that tweet out, he probably would have had something different to say, right? Mm. But now it's his teammate. But I think it's a case of, if I look at what happened with Raheem Sterling and that, and his the statement that he put out in December, it looked like it was the day after. It kind of came across as if like him and possibly a PR team sit down. He said to the PR team, you know what, this is what I want to say. They articulated it brilliantly, haven't put it out. Even now, this is the flip side where he's not expecting something. Mm. He's asked a question in the heat of the moment and he's given a bad answer. But I don't want to put too much on him because at the end of the day, he's kind of been thrust into this position of being the spokesperson for racism. Probably a position he never wanted.
Going back to that tweet, that Instagram post in December, he posted that.
He posted that. But then I don't know what he would have expected.
Sorry. Yeah, he posted it and?
So I'm saying he chose to do that. Nobody forced him to do that.
Okay,
so by posting it on your account, you're putting your head above the parapet and saying, I want to talk about this issue.
Yeah.
I want to call it out.
Go on.
Right, so he's...
So he has to do it all the time?
I think you do, Joel.
No, you don't.
I think you do.
No, you don't.
I think you can't pick and choose when you want to be an activist.
You don't.
If you think something is wrong...
I think that's unfair, Jordan.
You think it's unfair, really?
Yeah, I think it's unfair. I think if the brother scored a goal and played a good game and he wants to talk about his match on the post-match, why is he talking about something that happened a couple of days ago?
Because he's seen as the person now, like it or not, as
the
voice that's going to fight
it.
I agree with that.
He's the only one. Not because he wants to do it every single time.
No, but
that's wrong.
No, but I tell you why. In this instance, I think he does have to. He does have to speak out because it's in his team.
Mm.
It happened in his team, so it's kind of on your door. Do you know what I mean?
I don't agree, but I hear what you're saying.
Do you know what's happened though? We're now being critical of the wrong person.
Yeah.
We're now holding Raheem to account, and you got to remember. And Raheem's already said that our media are very, very smart. One. Should he really have been put up for interview? So what's his club doing about it? He shouldn't have been put up for interview, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm, I agree with that.
They wanted buzz points. He actually is the only person that said, I can actually get where people are coming from once this tweet went out. But he's not going to throw his teammate under a bus. And ultimately, there is a culture difference there as well. That I'm sure that banter is acceptable where Bernard Silva and where Mendy have played in the past. Now, the first thing that happened, which was the video when Mendy was wearing the black T-shirt, never got picked up at all. That was a year ago. Mm-hmm. If we really, really were going to be hard on this, we should have been hard then. But we didn't want to. It wasn't even in people's... It was there. It was public.
It wasn't vogue.
I missed that one. But right, it was
so
out there, though. Yeah.
Now we're picking and choosing at which stage we're now criticising. Now we're focusing on the response of a teammate... of someone who has stuck his neck above when he didn't have to, has spoken on more than enough occasions about an issue, had to go to Montenegro and again experience what he experienced. Why does he need to talk every single time?
I'll tell you what.
People are clear on his stance, and I think he made it clear that actually, and there's been a lot of people that have not said it, actually, I can understand why people are offended. But he knows these two people. He knows these two people.
And that's the
mistake
difference.
That was made was putting it public.
But the mistake I think he made is that he said...
People
I don't
touch your feely about it.
No, I heard that. But he also said, I don't think...
That was wrong.
I don't think it is racist. And that's what I'm saying. Because in terms of the thing what he said about the covert, the same thing what he says about the media and about this... That's what the people in the newspaper were bored to say. No, this is not racist. This is just a report. And this is the problem. I don't think he should have gone as far as he did.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not fair because... And I think it's not fair to judge him because Pep had his time, you know, in a press conference to plan for that press conference and to plan what he had to say, which we all agree was poor. Yeah?
It was awful.
Raheem, quickly, the media want you. Out you go. Tensions of the game, whatever... You know, another victory, 90 minutes, you're going to get things wrong during that period of time. And he didn't look comfortable during that interview.
He didn't
look comfortable.
But he could have just stayed quiet.
I don't think it's fair to judge him on the back of that. Now, I'm not the be-all and end-all. So I don't mind if I get criticised on it. But I just think that now we're focusing on Raheem rather than going back to the situation.
That's my point, Jay.
Go on.
Is the biggest faux pas was not the racism, because that's going to be... they're going to realise between themselves whether they think they're being racist or not, right? Because I'm not involved in their to and fro. It was in public. That's why I said, at the end of what I said, I hope everyone's learned a lesson. I've said to you on the show before, when you're dealing with social networking, what you're doing, the parameters of what's socially acceptable is being defined and redefined in real time. And that's the problem. It's a moving scale. It's not this static, these are the parameters of what's socially acceptable, do that. Stay in that box and you're fine. It's moving all the time. And I think that this fell way outside of what's socially acceptable. And they know about it now. And I hope everyone's learned
the thing
lesson.
So whether you
have that banter in your dressing room or not, I don't want
to
hear it.
If they really wanted to have banter, it's a text message between two friends.
But you say that, Troy, but this goes back to your initial point there. I don't think that people have learned a lesson, because Pep Guardiola and Bernardo Silva are still saying, what's the problem?
It's a broom.
It was just a joke.
Yeah, but that's a
broom. They don't understand why this was offence to some people.
No, I don't know.
It didn't offend me personally, but I understand why it offended other black people.
I don't know if they believe that. I think now we're in a situation where when stories like that break, you can come out and say sorry, you can sweep it under the carpet. They've swept, right? They've swept. Because they don't want to deal with anything else. They're just, it's back in the office. There, it's in-house. So nothing else can come out apart from conjecture, people doing what we're doing now. Nothing else can come of this, because it's three of their players. So they can sweep it under the carpet and leave it, move on, jog on. I think that's why they have adopted this approach, because nothing else can affect how this moves on unless we impart our opinions. And what are we going to do? Demand of City to do what?
But hang on. And this again, just final point on Sterling, goes back to why I think he does need to speak out on this, because...
But he has.
But he hasn't condemned it. And the problem for me is, if we want the authorities to do something about this, I think we can all agree we're done waiting for the FA and FIFA to fix this problem. We're not waiting for that anymore. So if the authorities, who were mainly white, are not going to fix this problem and hold people accountable, we have to hold people accountable. As black people and black players, but we have to decide that.
But we haven't got the power or the
strength. But Sterling does.
But he hasn't.
But he does, Troy.
But he hasn't.
Because if he goes on Sky Live and says, you know what, Bernardo's my boy, we're good friends, he's a good guy, but I've told him it was racist and it was out of order. It was uncomfortable, it wasn't particularly nice, but I called him out.
That's not power.
It is power, because then Manchester City have to think, oh, hang on a minute.
No.
We've got a situation going on here now.
No.
We've got to get to the bottom of this. And if of the two of them, Sterling is more valuable to them than Silva.
No, it's not about comparing who is valuable and who's not valuable. Ultimately, at the end of the day, like I said to you, I think he's the only one, maybe not in the way that people wanted him to because of the script of the Instagram, but this was a live interview, unscripted, right in front. Can we have Raheem? There he is. Bam. You saw how nervous he was, because ultimately... they're asking him to actually kill his two teammates, okay? They're asking him to be the voice that everyone wants him to be and thinks he should be, over his own manager, by the way. And they want him to actually provide them with a story. Now, what Sky have done is they've run the bits where he said, they're mates, they're this, they're that, then the other. They've not run the bits where he said, but actually I can understand the feeling and the wave of feeling on the outside. So all of a sudden,
they were very smart.
People are not reading that story. They're reading the fact that, he's my teammate, he's my boy, man, he speaks five languages and all that crap.
Yeah.
So ultimately, they've set him up as well. And what we're falling into a trap now is the same trap that we've always fell in. There's is that structure. Media cycle... stupidness.
I mean, letting Silva off the hook.
That continues to exist.
This is one of the reasons why I say I don't want him. I don't even want him to be the mouthpiece every single time.
And I don't think he wants to be either.
And the reason why I say that is because, you see, Jeff, me and you have had this conversation off mic a few times, right? We've been doing this a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And I've been at The Voice newspaper, Britain's best black newspaper, right? They've been about for 37 years. I don't really get too many calls to come and sit on shows and talk about how a man put it in the corner top bin, you know? But I guarantee you I'll get a call and an email and a diss about any kind of racist incident that goes on. And you know, the last time I said to myself, you know what? I'm not doing that no more, you know?
And many people are the same.
LBC called me. Yeah, I called them out. Called me and asked me to talk about two mixed race players, one referenced the other as a chock ice, right? I said to the producer, cool, but can I promote my book? When it comes to promoting my book, I didn't get a chance. I said to them, no problem, but the next time you phone my phone, I want to talk about my book. They never phone my phone again, Jay.
That same station.
And so what I'm saying to you is, if I had presented myself to all of these mainstream platforms as the guy to go to for that quote, for that racism soundbite, anti-racism, call it what you like, I'd still be that guy, bro.
Listen.
If I took it on, they'd be like, oh yeah, just call Joel Campbell. Bruv, it happened to me for the first half of my career to the point I said, I see you use like that. You don't want to bring me in on nothing else.
And there's a lot
to talk about that.
And there's a lot of black broadcasters and journalists and presenters who have, me one of them, that have adopted that stance as well. I won't go on certain shows and platforms to give the soundbite. I'm totally with you there. But I'm just saying Sterling does have power. I think he's got power.
You know
he's
what?
He's got influence.
I think he starts talking after he signs that last contract. And I think if most players sign that last contract, they can talk. I truly believe that. So this power thing you're alluding to...
It's influence.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't genuinely think it's that kind of power yet. Because that's why Pep can come... How did Pep deal with Yaya, bro? So that's why Pep can come out and deal with man and deal with the thing like how he dealt with it. Because he'll be like, bro, you're not saying nothing. And make sure you don't say nothing as well. Don't piss me off. You understand what I'm saying? Because when Pep man piss him off...
You're done.
We've seen.
But here's the thing. I don't even think he had to necessarily, like, down Bernardo Silva. I just think he had to be a bit more balanced. I think he went too far on the side way. Of defending Bernardo Silva for me. That's what disappointed me. Even if he was totally neutral, I know that would have upset people. But he could have gave just both sides. Look, this... It's clearly something that's really offensive.
You don't think so, do you?
No, I think, to be honest with you, at that moment in time...
I accept it's a live interview. You've just played. I think he didn't get mad at the match, but he's had a decent-ish game. You're tired, you're sweating.
I think it's unfair for us to judge him on that. That's what I'm saying. I think it's unfair for us to judge him.
But we judged him when he called out other race, when he's been a beacon of light. We judge him then.
Yeah, but hold on. How long did he take? So... Did he react straight after the Chelsea game?
No, he didn't.
Last December?
Yeah. Did he react straight after the Chelsea game?
Well, yeah, because he posted...
No, he didn't. He posted 12 o'clock on Sunday.
Okay, then, yeah. The next day.
Everyone needs that space, that thinking time, that time to rationale a situation and then come back with what they're going to come back with.
So I'm going to be more harsh now. So he must have known that when the press office at Man City has gone to him, Raheem, they want to... Sky want you... Could he not just said
10 minutes?
He knows that question's coming. He knows it's coming. No, you know what? No. Get the man of the match. I forgot who man of the match was. Man of the match was I think it was Mahrez. Go and get Mahrez. He could have declined that interview because he knows what's coming, Troy.
And they're going to ask Mahrez the same question.
Or he could have even gone.
Yeah, let Mahrez do it.
I remember Van Dijk went on Sky.
And they threw a question at him.
But he said no. And the producer got it in the ear that, Van Dijk said he's not going to talk about this.
Yeah, because it was about another club's players. And he's right to say no. Raheem says no now, and I guarantee we're talking about a totally different kettle of fish.
If he says no, what's the interview?
If he said no then, and it came out, because you know these things come out.
Yeah.
It had come out that he said no to the interview, different kettle of fish. The public, the media, would actually be slaughtering even more.
Maybe I am being harsh, but I expect so much from him now. And maybe Joel's right. Maybe that weight is all on his shoulders. And he's still a young boy.
So maybe I'm being a bit harsh, but
I just think to myself, you've put yourself in a position, like it or not, where people do see you as the leader of the fight, rightly or wrongly. Mm-hmm. So you can't pick and choose when you want to call people out. If it was another club's, another team's player, I'd understand. But when it's in your club,
I'm not. Listen, I get where you come from, but I'm not feeling the criticism. And I think, like I said, we're diluting the actual argument. And in diluting the argument, we're actually doing the same that people do when they want they want to change the narrative. So we're
distracted away from
guilty.
Silver and the person that's committed.
But we can be disappointed with what he said, though.
I'm not knocking anyone for being disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give a balanced point of view of the other.
I agree. I don't think he should be the spokesperson. I don't think he should be the beacon. I think that's what I was saying in terms of my thing, you know. But I was still a little bit. it's still, I don't know, I cringe when I heard him talk.
I cringed.
Mm. Yeah. But I felt for him. I cringed, but I felt for him. Because, yo, where's the press officer? And I ain't going to call his name out as well. I had conversations with them. But listen, why did they do that? Why did they put him up? Because they must have felt like you, Jay, that, oh, you're the guy now. You can go and talk about this sort of thing. No, man, get you some time to prep. And furthermore, not every time the issue comes a cropper do we call his name, man. He's a you. Let him be a you and mature in his own way and grow in his own way.
Listen, Jay, yeah? I get your point, because now people are expecting. So now the weight is on his shoulders.
And that might be unfair.
I think it's
part of the course, though. Yeah. I don't think you're wrong for it.
Yeah.
I think that when we discuss it, we're supposed to put people straight and tell people, no, he's not supposed to be the one and only beat. Where's the rest of the man then?
But I've made that point before, that I was disappointed off the back of that post last December that other black players didn't come out and say, yeah, Pogba, Aubameyang, Kante, come out and just say, we've suffered it at some point. We stand with, do you know what I mean? So there's a whole heap of high profile.
We get how this played out. But you, man, every man should know, don't do that again.
Mm.
Don't do that. That this here is the standard bearer for not acceptable.
Mm.
And that's it. Keep it moving.
What do you think about the John Barnes?
So just Barnes. So briefly on him, because that seems to be a bit of an ongoing situation. We'll come back to that next week. You asking me or asking the boys?
Well, just put throwing that out there.
I mean, just before we even start on the whole John Barnes thing, there is a first word explanation. Actually, let me not call it an explanation. Insight into John's behaviour over the last couple of months. Would that be right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On the Voices website right now. So penned by him.
Listen.
Go and read
it. I'm putting it out there. I ain't happy. Mm. Of a man of his status, whatever it may be, that has gone through what he's been through, that is actually dismissing the experiences of black players in this day and age and talking about them as if they don't understand what real racism is. Mm. And you put real in inverted commas, because racism is racism. If they've experienced it and they want to talk about it, they want to talk about it. You know, dismissive of Jadon Sancho's experience and comments about how, you know, it would make him give up the game. That's how he feels. Dismissive of, supportive of a Peter Beardsley who has bullied and racially abused players for years until a couple have been strong enough to action against that what happened
and
there.
And found guilty.
And I've seen the statements that actually say that there was a lot more going on than what meets the public eye. So when you're talking about being supportive and say it as it is on whatever else, don't change the narrative to suit what you want to say. Those players have been victimised racially. Support them. Jadon Sancho has come out and has been honest. Support him and applaud him. Don't question how much he earns. It's got nothing to do with that.
Mm.
It's to do with the fact that the lad has been racially abused. He's never mentioned Danny Rose. But listen, out of everything, when Danny Rose speaks, that cuts me. Because he talks about having to prepare 3 days in advance to travel abroad.
Mm.
And yet Barnes is saying, oh, well, we shouldn't be talking about things like that. I am hurt as a black man that witnesses a lot of the hurt of the black players, that he can be so dismissive of those players and their experiences.
Mm.
Full stop.
Yeah, I've been disappointed. I think many people might have heard the interview he did on TalkSport last Thursday on kickoff. He was in cross show with Darren Lewis and Paul Parker. And some of the things that he was saying were just I was in the gallery listening, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, it was mad.
And I bigged him up last week as well.
Listen, what I don't want.
You did, yeah. Actually, yeah.
Listen,
were you taking back the big up?
Everyone can have a view and opinion, and you know, we all agree, disagree, but never knock a man for his experiences. Don't knock a man who has had to live a life.
His reality.
His reality.
Yeah, no, you can't take that.
It's reality.
From.
Is that letter on the website? Yeah,
okay. So we've had to edit it. I know there's an unedited version going around, but we won't. There's certain things we just won't do at the Voice newspaper.
Sure.
So that was explained to him, and he understood and was okay with the version that's up. Listen, we did a little video at the Voice where we was discussing the whole Jadon Sancho thing, and my conclusion was John could have put his arm around him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He could have gone to see him, he could have rolled up at the England camp, he could have rolled up, John can go anywhere, right? and roll up and say, I need to speak to Jaden. Give me a room. Let me just speak to this year for once. He didn't do none of that. He's just gone out there and just got on him. The Peter Beardsley thing, I don't even know where he's coming from with that, to be honest with you. And he makes a number of references that he thinks qualify Peter from. It just doesn't.
Absorbing him from guilt.
Yeah, it just doesn't. Yeah. It really doesn't. And my thing with John is that he's got to sit in a room full of black people before going out and doing these things in public. And John, I hope you see this.
Because it's killing us.
Because, yeah, you're killing yourself.
True.
You'll get disowned by your own people. I don't know this for a fact, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's why, you know, the voice is running, the story that they're running, because he probably now getting such a backlash from his own, he needs us to understand where he's coming from. There are certain things that I can understand what he's trying to allude to.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But he's got to be careful about how he conflates certain issues and subjects, because it will get lost in the blur. The message will get lost in the blur and nobody will understand what you're talking about, least alone your own people.
Absolutely. I think there are some debates that even if you are questioning something, I don't know whether you question it on Sky Sports.
Mm.
Like, let's keep those kind of things in-house. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, if, you know...
Go amongst your peers first.
Exactly.
Test the water.
There are some things that I think, okay, I don't agree with him, but maybe there's a logic to what he's saying. But when you bring that debate up into the wider picture, you undermine everything that everyone's trying to do.
I agree. I'm going to read that letter. Is that just gone live?
Yeah, it's gone live. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to read that letter and we'll, I'm sure, come back to that on next week's show. Go on. On that note, yes, Joel, Troy and G.
Troy is not happy
at all. Cheers for coming on the pod this week, guys. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and iTunes and also on the socials.
Weren't I supposed to answer something?
Oh yeah, we've got that shame very quickly.
Shame. I haven't been on here for God knows how long. Wow.
Very quickly, Ben's I did ask you guys. Shame for your player to player that you would love, the current generation of football fans.
Actually, mine was John Barnes. That was the big one.
I mean, sir, can I take that homework back and do it again?
There's an F. In 30 seconds each, let's get your... Who was yours, Troy?
JJ Okocha.
Ooh, yeah. Big shot.
You know what? Shot. Yeah, because I think you watch the way that he played. He played like he's playing in the playground. He loved the game, and he did things that I think the Premier League hadn't seen for quite a long while.
And needs more of now, I would argue.
I think he could play in the league now.
I think we need
that.
JJ Okocha, good shout. Joel, who was your shout?
Lilian Thuram. I didn't have a Premier League one, but okay. Lilian Thuram is my guy.
My favourite defender of all time.
I know.
I know.
I'm going to give you a Premier League one.
Go on then.
It's just abstract. I was a central defender. Philippe Albert, love the way he played again. I'd love the kids to be able to watch
him
now.
Interesting. Okay. Lillian Thuram is my favourite defender of all time.
Yeah, me too.
But you said to me Premier League.
I did. And then Joe was like, "Can I have?" And I was like, "Go on, you can have two." But yeah,
my man's changing his script.
I'm doing the homework again.
Jeez, man, shit, I can't say John Barnes.
Yeah, I know. You're lucky you're not on Twitter.
Option three. I know your first two was John Barnes, and then John Barnes again.
Yes, as I was saying, don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and iTunes. We're across all the socials as well, Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Until next week, peace. Come on, you Arsenal.
Take that off.
I've really cut that off.
Listen, I need